Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, as we continue this very important study on the future kingdom, when Jesus Christ will rule and reign from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, we need to go back to the first kingdom that the Lord set up some 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. The Lord put Adam and Eve in charge of that kingdom. I need to show you how this all came together and, in fact, trace from that first kingdom to the satanic kingdom that would be set up by the great-grandson of Noah, a man named Nimrod. We need to start in Genesis chapter 2.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Now go back to chapter 2, and there the Lord God is going to place Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Before he does that, before he brings Eve into existence, he has Adam go into the garden. And then he brings all the animals into the garden. This is chapter 2. And he allows Adam to name all the animals. What do you think the animals got their names from? Adam named all the animals. You see, God was trying to show Adam his glory. His glory is made manifest in his creation. He showed him the stars, for example. Psalm 19, the heavens declare my glory. He said four words to bring stars and the galaxies out there into existence. And the stars also. He had put the sun up there. He had put the moon up there. And it's like he's walking away. This is the fourth day of creation. All of a sudden he says, oh yeah, and the stars also. And majestically the sky shows the glory. Now, Adam is able to see that, but he also wants him to see the creativeness in the animals that he brings into existence. I don't know what it would have been like. I would have loved to have been there with Adam in that garden at that time. He would have been, you know, standing there in the garden, and the Lord's going to bring all the animals in, and he's so excited about this that God's given him to do. And all of a sudden, he looks out, and down the aisle comes this great, big, wide, big old hipped type of animal. And Adam looks up and says, I think that I will call that a hippopotamus. Big hips, you know. Anyway, he comes down the aisle. And then all of a sudden, God said, well, that's not bad. And God said, let me show you this one. And he puts a little thing on, you know, four little legs, little tentacles coming around. Adam says, I think that I will call that an ant. And all of a sudden, this creature coming along with a long snout walks up, sticks a long tongue out, eats the ant. And he says, that's an ant eater. And so he names all these animals. Why does he do it? Because he's trying to show Adam, in everything I've created thus far, you have no helpmate. That's chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, what it says. Did you find a helpmate, Adam? No. Okay, I'm going to make you one. So he pulls a rib out of Adam and he makes woman. And there he then joins them together and they become the leaders of this kingdom that the Lord has put in place. But where are they headquartered? In the Garden of Eden, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden before time in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight of every good for good food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And so we have established now the pattern, and then we have the place where this kingdom is going to be set up and operating. Well, we know the story in chapter 3, what happens in chapter 3. Satan, having fallen from the relationship he had with the Lord, and most likely, let me just throw this into your computer. Why did Satan rebel? I would suggest maybe it might be because of the fact that when the Lord God created the earth, just before that, he created angels. That would be based upon the fact of the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 4 says, where were you, Job, when I created the earth? And then in verse 7 it says, when the angels, sons of God, and the morning stars sang praise when he created the earth. So someplace in Genesis chapter 1, between verse 1 halfway through and the end of verse 1, he creates angels. He created the heavens, created angels, and then he brings into existence the earth. And the angels sang for joy about what would happen. Now, remember, I tell you, everything has to be created in the 6 24-hour days. That's what Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says. He did that, everything created in 6 24-hour days. Lucifer, if you look at chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel, was made the most prominent of all the angels that were created. He had a place of prominence. The Lord put him there himself. And then I believe when he brought man into existence, and on the sixth day of creation, Lucifer's watching and he sees that Adam and Eve are given dominion over all of creation. And so Lucifer is kind of displaced from his position of power and prominence. And so he rebels. Chapter 3, we see him slip into the garden. And there he has a conversation with Eve, and through confusing her, he brings her to a place where she will commit sin. And sin comes in, and now that dominion that had been given to Adam and Eve has slipped away from them. We continue on. We go through chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel, chapter 5, a genealogy in the book of Genesis, chapters 6, 7, and 8, Noah and the flood. The flood is over. All of humankind has been wiped out except for 8 souls because of their relationship with angelic creatures as well. We come to chapter 9. The Lord appears to Noah, tells him to be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth. Chapter 10, they start doing that. Go to chapter 10 just a moment. Let me show you now how, again, Satan is going to be actively involved in what's going to happen. Chapter 10 of the book of Genesis is the record of Noah and his 3 sons doing exactly what the Lord said to do, be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth. You'll remember that Ham had a son. His name was Cush. Cush had a son. His name was Nimrod. That's here in verse 8 of chapter 10. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Verse 10. Now notice this. And the beginning of his kingdom, the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel on the shores of the Euphrates River. In the plains of Shinar, it says here. That's in Mesopotamia, the 2 rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. On the plains of Shinar, which is modern-day Iraq, Babylon is established, and that is the beginning of the kingdom for Nimrod. What did he do? Chapter 11, verse 4 says, he built a great city in the face of Jehovah God, who said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That was his command to Noah and his 3 sons. But Nimrod, great-grandson of Noah, says, in your face, God, I'm going to establish my kingdom. And so Satan comes along, gets inside and controlling Nimrod, has him go against God and establishes a kingdom in contradiction to the Lord's plan for the kingdom. We could go on and we could trace throughout the entire Bible how satanic rulers have controlled kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms, of course, of the Gentile world. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, controlled by satanically controlled men in the leadership roles of these different kingdoms. And ultimately, the Lord's going to bring down the Gentile world powers. One of the reasons for the tribulation period is to bring an end to Gentile world powers. It says in the book of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 24, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles would be that period of time when the Gentile world powers are ruling over this earth from during that 7-year tribulation period. So we could trace through the satanic kingdoms that have been put in place. In fact, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. That means he's the king. He's the ruler. He's in charge of this world today under, of course, the sovereignty of Almighty God. Well, that's the plan for the kingdom that the Lord put in place, the pattern and the place where it's supposed to be headquartered. Go with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 7, and let me show you now the promise God's promise to a people, God's kingdom people. Who is it going to be that will receive this kingdom? Who is it going to be that will be the recipient of God's promise to give a kingdom to this world? The book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 is the record of the Davidic covenant. It's a covenant made with King David for the purpose of giving him a promise that there would be a temple in the city of Jerusalem and one of his descendants would rule and reign from the throne in that temple. In chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, David, king of all of Israel, having served as king of only Judah for 7 years in Hebron, and then the other tribal leaders make him king of all of Israel, he comes and selects a neutral city. He selects a Jebusite stronghold between Benjamin and Judah. It's a place called Jerusalem. It was owned by the Jebusites. His mighty men took over and captured it. In chapter 5, it becomes the political capital of the Jewish people. That was 3,000 years ago. In chapter 6, he brings the Ark of the Covenant that had been away from the Jewish people for over 350 years. He brings that into Jerusalem, and he sets up the spiritual capital for the Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem. He wants to build a permanent worship center. The Ark of the Covenant was traveling, of course, and that was the transportable worship center when they would put up the tabernacle. David puts up a tabernacle in Jerusalem for the purpose of housing the tabernacle, and then he decides he would like to build a permanent worship center, a temple. Because of sin, he's not allowed to do that, but the Lord comes and lets King David know in one of the four covenants, the promises that are unconditional given to the Jewish people, that this would happen one day. Chapter 7, 2 Samuel, verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And so he's committing to King David, I'm going to put up a permanent place of worship, and that, as we know, would be the city of Jerusalem. He talks about the first installment of this promise being taken care of by his son Solomon. Look here in verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which will proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, referring to Solomon, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. It's going to be a kingdom forever that will come from the bowels of King David through his son Solomon, who fulfills the first installment of it. Look at verse 16. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever.
The future kingdom that Jesus Christ rules and reigns from on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is going to be the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, but also the fulfillment of the promise that God made to King David 3,000 years ago. The Davidic covenant cannot be broken or unfulfilled. God made that promise, and a promise-keeping God also gives you and me the assurance that he will keep his promises to us of everlasting life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for these promises. Next week, we'll continue our study on the future kingdom when Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years here on the earth. This is a very important study, especially in light of the fact that many today believe that kingdom is already in place. A wrong understanding of the kingdom can be very destructive as we look at what God is doing today and what God will do in the future. Please don't miss this study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...